Esther tonight. There's a familiar passage, but I don't know that it's going to be a familiar message. And you'll understand after a while. But in Esther chapter number 4, the passage that's really familiar, let's just start reading in verse number 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. And then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." There's some wonderful truth in this passage of Scripture, but God has revealed some things to me that I know there's nothing new under the sun, but it's new to me, and it may be new to you tonight, and maybe not, but I want to show you some things that God spoke to my heart about for such a time as this. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for our people. Lord, I thank you for the sweetness of your presence. I thank you for your power. I thank you, God, that victory in Jesus is not just a song, but dear God, it's true in the heart and the lives of all your children. Lord, it may look like at times we're defeated, but Lord, we've already read the last chapter in the last book. And God, your people are not losers. They're winners. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would help us to glean something tonight from this passage of Scripture that'll encourage us in these days. And God, may you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You think about the time that Esther was living in. You know the story, I'm sure, how that, I think you would say her name, Vashti, how that she rebelled against the king, and God let Esther become the queen and to King Ahasuerus. And think about the time and how that in this story, Haman has developed a tremendous hatred for Mordecai. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. But think about the danger. I'm thinking about this story really in the light of world events right now for such a time as this. God has brought you and I into the kingdom for such a time as this. Just a little while ago, I received a text message from my son-in-law with a link to a news article. And in Europe right now, the grocery store Aldi, we've got one right here over on Stone Drive, they're having a 50% price increase in Europe right now. And in the article, it's asking the question, do you think that's going to go? Australia was wondering, are they next? You know, are they next? And we know tonight that there are a lot of problems in the world. And if you're not aware of it tonight, you're asleep. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, for years I have preached this. What's going on in the cities is coming to the country. Well, we better wake up and realize that what's going on in the world can come to our country. And I believe tonight in the message you'll see some things that will help you to parallel. What I really like Mordecai's attitude. Mordecai is telling Esther, God's going to deliver us. That's his niece, is that right? And he's saying, it reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God is able to deliver us, but you just need to know this, O king, one way or the other, we ain't bowing to that image of gold. Amen. And so Mordecai's got a great faith and a great attitude. You say, Pastor, where did that come from? I happen to believe that he believed what God told Abraham. Say amen. And so he said, you know, the Jews, yeah, we're being threatened, and we're going to see a time and a moment of despair. And yes, our lives are being threatened to be destroyed. But he's telling Esther, he's saying, listen, honey, don't you try to back out. Don't you think just because you're in the king's palace that you're going to be delivered. He said, deliverance is coming to the Jews. And he said, who can tell whether God has brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this? And then I like Esther's attitude when it sank in on her. She evidently had a lot of confidence in Mordecai. Amen? Because when it sank in, what did Mordecai tell her? Said, listen, you don't want to go for the king? Don't think you're going to be spared, and don't think your house is going to be spared. And I believe she believed that message, and she said, you know what? I'm going to get my maidens to fast. I want y'all to fast. I want you to pray. Let's talk to the God of heaven, and I'll go in. Because the way it was set up, if she went in uninvited before the king, and the king did not hold out his scepter, and so accepting her into his presence, she could lose her very life. She said to Mordecai, I'll go, and I love this. God, give us some Christians. I'll do what's right, and if I perish, I perish. Amen. And we also realize this, that when Esther was using the word perish, she was not talking about perishing eternally. Amen. She knew that she was going to live forever. Amen. As one of God's youngins. But what she was talking about, beloved, was her life being snuffed out in this world. I want to tell you something tonight. There's a country called Ukraine that's got a lot of people in it tonight, Brother Wayne, that says we're going to fight for our land. And if we perish, we perish. We love our country. It's our country. And I tell you, listen to me. I'm sad to say this tonight, but I believe that spirit's a lot stronger in Ukraine tonight than it is in the United States of America. I believe there was a time in America that would have been the majority. Listen, we're going to do what's right, and we're going to fight for our country. We're going to fight for our freedom. And if we perish, we perish. But I believe for the most part, that spirit is gone in our country. And that's sad. So tonight, what I'd like to look at, I'm probably just going to get started tonight. Maybe we'll come back to this Sunday night. Maybe next Wednesday night. I don't know. But I just want to mind the Lord. First of all, we're looking at this time, such a time as this. I want us to look at a time of disobedience. A time of disobedience. And what I'm going to teach you tonight from the Word of God is that disobedience is not always reaped right after the disobedience takes place. Sometimes it's way on down the road, amen, that the judgment comes. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that tonight. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seal above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Now, I want to ask you this tonight. Right off the bat, if you would ask me before I studied this, why wouldn't he bow? I would have probably said something like this. Well, he knows better than to bow down to a man or to worship a man. I believe it's deeper than that. And I want to show you that tonight. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Would you do that with me, please, tonight? 1 Samuel chapter 15. I thought I had that marked. But I can find it here in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 15. One preacher said, if you have a King James Bible, you'll find that in the Old Testament. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And I'd like to share with you tonight this disobedience that I'm talking about. That Mordecai is faced and the Jews are faced with dealing with King Ahasuerus because the heart of Haman is filled with hatred. And it's not only filled with hatred, it's filled with pride. It's filled with arrogance. And I'll show you tonight later, not tonight, but later in the message what I'm talking about there. Look in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. You'll have to go with me now. You'll get to it. Over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek, remember that, Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Most of you all probably already know this story. And Saul gathered the people together. He probably not made the link, but the connection. And numbered them in Telaim at 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that's over against Egypt. And he took Agag, look at this now, the king of the Amalekites alive. Go back with me to Esther just a moment. Keep your place right there in Samuel. After these things, did Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, who? The Agagite. You see that right there? Agagite. And advanced him. And so I believe, not only, beloved, listen, is Mordecai thinking about, here's a man that thinks we ought to bow down to a man, but I believe he's looking at the history of that man and realizing, beloved, listen, that those people, it's not just something that flared up in a moment of time, but they hated God's people. And I'll tell you something, beloved, listen, you better listen to me close right here. Even in the wonderful country that we live in, the United States of America, in many circles, beloved, God's people are hated. We're hated because we believe that a man and a woman constitutes a marriage. We're hated because we don't believe you ought to be a drunkard. We're hated because we don't believe in the drug society. We're hated because we believe in citizenship. We're hated because we believe the babies, even the unborn babies, belong to God, and God's got his eye on them. We're hated because we don't believe in same-sex marriage. And I'm telling you, beloved, that list goes on and on and on, but you can sum it up like this. We're hated because we believe that book. I'm glad to be hated if I'm hated because I believe this book. I believe if you go on, the Bible said here, he took Agag. You say, Pastor, what's it got to do with disobedience? I'm not talking about Haman's disobedience here. I'm talking about Saul's disobedience. What Mordecai and Esther and the Jews are reaping in the book of Esther is because of the disobedience of King Saul in the book of Samuel. You say, Pastor, you cannot link those two together. I just did. I read it to you, beloved. Listen, but the Bible said he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What was he supposed to do with him? Amen. Notice what the Bible said. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, they destroyed utterly. You know what Saul was thinking? I know better than God. Beloved, we're going to read a passage of Scripture here tonight. We're not going to get very far, but I'm going to show you something tonight. You and I do not know better than God. And disobedience carries with it a high price tag. You may not reap it today, and you may not reap it tomorrow, and you may not reap it. It may be in the generation that follows. That ought to scare us to death for our children and our grandchildren. The way that America, for the most part, has spit in the face of God and said, we know better than God knows. Watch it here. The Bible said, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. I just caught this. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel loved Saul. Samuel didn't want this to happen. And the word of God, and when Samuel rose to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Is that true? Listen to me. This is a statement. Boy, it's hard to swallow. You know what partial obedience is? Disobedience. Did you hear what I said? You know what partial obedience is? It's disobedience. I'll show you in the Word of God here. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the command. And Samuel said, what meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He thinks he's doing a good thing. He thinks his idea is better than God's idea. Beloved, listen, your idea, my idea will never be better than God's idea. Listen to me, I'm not trying to be critical tonight. We filled our churches with lost people because we think our idea is better than God's idea. We think people can be converted apart from conviction. This book teaches otherwise. Amen. Churches years ago competing. We had so many on our bus route competing many times over the same children. Pulling on them. Look, come on to our church. Come on to our church. I'm going to tell you something right now. Our heart is not right with God if we're not interested in getting people to Jesus and getting them to heaven more so than getting them to our church. Amen. I told a pastor, I'm trying to remember who I was talking to. I can't recall. Just recently, a pastor was talking about visiting and getting out. Oh, I know who it was. It was your dad. It was Brother John, Sunday. He was talking about trying to encourage the church to get out and visit. And I told your dad something that I don't think he had thought about. I said, Brother John, that's what we ought to do. We ought to go compel them to come in. And I said, Brother John, most of the time it won't be them that we compel to come in that'll come in, but God will send them in just because we're obedient. How many heard what I just said? God's looking for a people that'll be obedient. And Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. It's amazing to me how the Lord dealt in my heart. Beloved, the disobedience and the rebellion does not start in the heart of Haman. In the story, it starts in the heart of one of God's youngins, Saul. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart tonight, for such a time as this, what was the time? It was a time of disobedience. Secondly, in the message tonight, I'll see if I can share this with you a little bit, and then we'll go to the house, and we'll uncouple and couple back up a little bit later. Brother J.C., Brother Junior, are you making it okay? Okay. Brother Junior said I needed to be lively tonight or he would go to sleep. Amen. So I didn't hear any snoring, and I got one ear in. Amen. I can't wear both ears and wear this thing too. Amen. Let's look at it here tonight. It's a time of despair. A time of despair. The Bible talked about in the story, if you'll go home and read chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 5, when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Does that remind you of anybody in the world today? There's a fellow that's called the president of Russia that is full of wrath. Years ago, I was preaching, and this lady in our church in Wise, she brought her little nephew with her. He had never been around preaching. I got started preaching, Brother Junior, and he looked up at his aunt, and he said, he mad. And she said, no, honey, he's just preaching. He said, no, he mad. Just a minute, he said, he mad. He really mad. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. This man, Haman, was really mad. It aggravated him. Because this is a public place. When he walks through the gate, everybody's supposed to bow and reverence him. But there was a man of God named Mordecai. Said, my reverence don't belong this away. My reverence belongs that away. I believe, listen, you can say whatever you want to, but I believe when Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth, he meant it. Say amen. You say, Pastor, well, everybody's got a father. I think you know what that's talking about, don't you? Amen. Well, in the model prayer, the Bible said, our Father who art in heaven. No, that's not what it's talking about, beloved. You're not to elevate a man. Our priest is not down here. Our priest is over yonder, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Make an intercession for us tonight. A time of despair. So what's he do? He gets before the king and he says, there's these people. Look in verse number 8. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the providence of the kingdom, and their laws are different from all the people. Ain't that the way it is with a Christian today? Isn't our law a little different? I believe you ought to obey God's law, or excuse me, man's law, until it collides with God's law. And when it collides with God's law, beloved, you better go with God's law. I was grouse hunting years ago. A fellow was, the subject, there's people mad at me for preaching against drinking. They were mad at me for preaching against drinking. And so, this fellow, we were grouse hunting, and this fellow, and he wasn't mad at me, but I think he was trying to help things a little bit. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I don't think there's anything wrong with anything unless, as long as it's in moderation. Okay, I got you. And when I was younger, I would have just jumped on that. But I didn't jump on it. I just kept my mouth shut. Chewed on it a few days. It wasn't long. He and his boy and my boy and myself was sitting at Miss Eve's table. She was a feeding us. I said, brother, and I called his name. I said, you remember what you said the other day about you didn't think there was anything wrong with anything as long as it was in moderation? He said, yeah, I remember. I said, does that mean it would be okay for me to cheat on my wife as long as I only did it once every 10 years? He looked at me and he said, I see what you mean, preacher. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, our laws are different than their laws. Say amen. The Jews were a different people, a diverse people. Look what the Word of God said. And the people in all the provinces of the kingdom, their laws are different. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them or to allow them to live. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand. He's being played. That's exactly what's happened in politics today. A whole lot of people are just being played. Played like a fiddle. And the Word of God said he took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and the Jews' enemy. And the king said to Haman, the silver is given thee, the people also. Do with them as it seemeth good to thee. The letters in verse 13 are sent out the post. All the Jews, both young and old, watch this. Little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published, and all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. You know what I believe, Brother Steve? I believe a lot of those Gentiles had some Jewish friends. I believe a lot of those Gentiles in Shushan, Brother Preston, was trying to figure out, why do we got to kill them? Why do we have to wipe them off the face of the earth? Why? What have they done that they should be destroyed? Is anybody making some parallels tonight? Women, children, wipe them out on a false accusation. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, look at chapter 4, verse 1. I'm looking at a time of despair. Listen, you say, Pastor, God's people are never in a time of despair. I beg your pardon. Tell Jonah that. I don't believe Jonah was wallowing around in that seaweed hollering, praise God, amen, praise the Lord. No, no, no. I believe he was desperate to get out of there. And when he got out of there, he was willing to go do what God told him to do to start with. When they perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes. He put on sackcloth with ashes. He went into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Do you ever stop, close your eyes, and try to wonder what that voice sounded like? I'll tell you about what it sounded like. Somebody that just lost a loved one unexpectedly. Some people bottle it up and they hold it in. Other people squall uncontrollably. God made us all different. Y'all done figured that out, ain't you? Amen. Even in our worship, we're different. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, I can just close my eyes and hear Mordecai crying out to God. Let me tell you something. He's crying out to the right one. The one that can do something about it. The Word of God said here, it was a loud and a bitter cry. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews. And fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. But Esther really didn't understand at this point. Then was queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. Look at the Word of God. But he received it not. There's a little tidbit I'd like to stick in right there the Lord just spoke to my heart about. Beloved, try as we might, sometimes we just can't comfort the one that's grieved the way God can. We'd be better off probably just taking them to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Sometimes I think just our presence don't even need to speak a word. Just our presence, just knowing that somebody cares. It was a time of great despair. Verse 7, Mordecai told of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews. Look at those next words. To destroy them. It was a time of despair. A time of disobedience. A time of despair. I've said these words from this pulpit several times in the last few years. I'll say them again tonight. Before this thing's over, Brother Larry, we may need each other like we've never needed each other. I'll just say this. I'm glad we have each other. Let me say another thing. I'm glad we have him. He knew where Haman was. He knew where Mordecai was. He knew where Esther was. And he knew what they needed. And beloved, he knows where you and I are tonight. You can read the Psalms, and over and over and over, David talks about the enemy. God knows who the enemy is. There are allies of Calvary, and there are enemies of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm on the right side of Calvary. I'm glad I'm on the side where there was a day when God remembered me. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. Listen. Please, listen. Let's not be griping because groceries are high and gas is high and electricity's high. Let's be rejoicing because our God sits on high. And Brother Steve, he knows what we need even before we ask. Can I say this tonight? When we're praying for revival, and we ought to be praying for revival in our country, we may be praying for an economical downturn. Do y'all understand what I just said? As long as the coffers are full, nobody's got a need of anything, have need of nothing. Ain't that, What was that in? Was that in Revelation, one of the churches that was, I think it was the church at Laodicea, isn't it? You're nodding your head, Brother Larry, have need of nothing. And knoweth not, the Word of God said that they were poor and miserable and blind and naked. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I promise you this. I don't wish it on our country, but I serve a God that in a moment of time can bring this country to its knees. It'd be better if we'd just wake up and repent. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight.